Okay, the next argued case is number 14-1577, In Re Hardy. Mr. Seidman.
May it please the court. On the counsel table, we brought in an exemplar of the claim design, which is right here. And we brought an exemplar of the Hardy reference, which is the purported primary reference against the claim design under 103. So we have two major contentions. And the first contention is that Hardy is not a proper primary reference against the claim design. And the major feature that is absent from the Hardy patent is inclined sidewalls. This is an overall visual appearance. It's a critical feature of the claim design. And just as in, for example, the Apple Samsung case where the Fiddler tablet had a frame around the screen and the Apple claim design had no frame around the screen, the Fiddler frame was a critical feature, just as the absence of inclined sidewalls here, or the inclined sidewalls here, is a critical feature.
What effect at all is there with the previous proceeding in which the parent application of the current application was involved? My recollection is that the same question of the primary reference came up.
That's correct, Your Honor. Well, in that
case, the board held and we affirmed, right?
Correct.
That the thing you're pointing to was an appropriate prior current reference.
That is correct, but there was a major distinction in that this is this design, which is exactly what's claimed in the present application on appeal. In the parent, the rim, the lower rim was not claimed, the upper rim was not claimed, and the handle was not claimed. And the significance of that is that the presence in Hardy, the primary reference, of an inner stacking rim was not an issue in the earlier case. The inner stacking rim is important in Hardy, and it's fully disclosed in claims because it allows the Hardy basket to be stacked one on top of the other.
Functional.
I'm sorry?
Functional.
Well, it's a characteristic feature of Hardy that is totally absent in the claim design because
these mesh baskets. You can't tell that by looking at it.
I'm sorry?
You can't tell the stacking capacity just by looking at it.
Well, you can tell that there is a stacking rim on the bottom, Your Honor. And
Hardy doesn't show it stacked, though, does it?
Well, the patent doesn't show it stacked, but you know, there's many other cases that this court has considered functional features of designs that didn't necessarily show. For example, in the Best Lock case, it was about a keyblade blank, and that's the only thing disclosed in that patent, but the court considered a mating lock that was not within the four corners of the document. The PhD case, similarly, had a label sheet, and the alternate designs of that label sheet and how the lower, thinner labels could be placed on that label sheet was, in fact, considered by the court. And those are all functional features. So I think it's entirely appropriate that the stackability of this case, of this primary reference, be considered. And that is exactly the reason that the prior holding is not relevant, really, to this holding, because
that's what I understood, that you were essentially relying on the stacking point to distinguish the previous case.
Yes, so to distinguish the previous.
If we disagreed with you, the stacking issue is in dispute. You and your adversary don't agree on that.
That's right.
And if we were to agree with them, then the basis for distinguishing the previous case would be significantly less, correct? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you
that's
were.
That's just where I'm trying.
Yes. But there's another reason the stacking feature is important, and that is
the effect of the secondary references. Now, the secondary references are ordinary plain baskets. One's a bicycle basket, and the others are three stacked baskets with different proportions, different dimensions, different wire designs, if you will, but they all have inclined sidewalls. Now, what happens when you incline the sidewalls of the primary reference, as suggested by the examiner and the board, is you render it incapable of stacking. If the open mouth is wider than the bottom, these will not stack upon each other. It defeats a major purpose.
They stack, but
in fact,
they stack, but it's in a different way because they collapse.
Well, they nest.
Yeah.
They nest. But in a nesting situation, as with the claim design, you lose all the internal storage capacity of the basket, whereas with a stack one on top of the other, you maintain the internal storage capacity.
But again, the storage capacity question is functional, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, it's a purpose of the claim design. I wouldn't say, you know, everything about these baskets is functional. I mean, the sidewalls hold in things and the frames support the sidewalls. But that is not the issue. Functionality is not an issue in this case. And I would say the use, the purpose, the characteristics of the design of the primary reference, is defeated if the sidewalls are inclined.
So a great deal turns on the stacking point in the case, both with regard to the secondary references as well as the primary reference.
Well, I think that is a big point we try to make. But another point is that I think if you look at the rejection that the examiner and the board made and affirmed, I think it can be more properly characterized as a utility patent type of rejection. They are taking the concept of inclined baskets in the secondary references and suggesting that it would have been obvious to incline the sidewalls of the primary reference. Now, we don't claim to have invented the concept of inclined sidewalls. I mean, they're old, and if this was a utility patent case, I would not be before you. You know, I would. But it's not a utility patent case. It's a question of appearances. And if you look at the court's holding, in the Apple Samsung case, they held that the secondary reference, the TC-1000, was not so related, and I put that in quotes because that's the test of Gladys, but it wasn't so related to the primary reference to Fiddler as to make them combinable. And they were both tablets and they both had flat glass, but there was no visual relationship between the primary and the secondary references so that they could rationally be combined. And that's at Apple Samsung 678 Fed Third at 1331. And I would...
I suppose with visual appearance, it depends on how closely you're looking at the two items, right?
Well...
I mean, in visual appearance, both even the one with the angle, they are boxy or about the same shape.
You mean the two of these?
Yeah.
Yes, but I...
Are the wires the same?
Well, there are a lot of things in common. The wires are the same. They both have upper and lower supports. The handles are obviously
right.
The same. Excuse the language. But these walls are inclined. I know it's very tempting to look at the inclined walls of the secondary art and say it's obvious to incline these. But again, that's
what
a...
What would happen if the inclination was even slighter than the one you're holding?
Well, if the inclination was an inclination, these are perfectly vertical. The sidewalls of Hardy.
But you could have an inclination that is very, very difficult for the human eye to see, especially like at the distance.
This one right here?
Well, yes, but I mean, you could. Is your argument that, well, you don't, your argument is this particular inclination.
The appearance.
Makes it inappropriate.
The appearance of that basket is not basically the same as the appearance of the primary.
Square top. Sides, so semicircular openings.
But the bottom is a lot smaller than the top. you can fit items into this sort of basket much more easily. It's intended for storage of small items. This what? One is
why,
intended
why
for
why
storage.
Items fit
I'm
in,
sorry?
Why do items fit into it in an easier way?
Because it's got a bigger opening at the top. Because the dimension
but
of
I mean,
the top
putting
square...
Putting something in it is a function of how big it is at the top, not how big it is at the bottom.
Well,
I would think it'd be harder to put a great big thing like a you know an anorak in it because the bottom is smaller.
Well, when you're choosing a particular size of basket, not that size matters in a design patent, but when you're choosing a particular size, it is more convenient to have the top wider than the bottom because things can be withdrawn from it more easily. This basket was intended to hold file folders, not items. Not saying you can't, but it is just a little more difficult to dig into. I guess I'd like to reserve any time I have left for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your rebuttal time, Mr. Seidman. Mr. Rosella.
Good morning. May it please the Court. The board, in this case, the board properly determined that the claimed basket design at issue in this appeal was obvious over the prior art, namely the primary reference, another of Hardy's basket designs claimed in the 302 design patent, in combination with either of the secondary references, Pope or Glassenberg, that depict similar baskets with tapered sidewalls. Now, during
the decision as to a primary, whether it's a suitable primary reference, that's a fact question?
That's correct.
Case, and so substantial evidence is our review standard?
That's correct. And in this case, the board and the examiner set forth several design characteristics.
How are we supposed to review that? I mean, for example, take the inclined sides of the primary reference and assume that they were even more angular, that the bottom was a square, and say it was only 2 inches square. So you had really severe inclination.
Well, the primary reference doesn't
then
have...
Take the case of where you have even less inclination than this. What I'm trying to get at is, what's the standard that we're supposed to use to decide where substantial evidence fits? Substantially more inclined sides than those, if it had been with a 2-inch square at the bottom, I think everybody would say that's not a sufficient primary reference.
Well,
if the claimed design had further inclined walls...
Yeah, right.
If the claimed design had further, perhaps, I mean, that's not the case, of course. What we have is, we have the wall.
What we're trying to decide is whether an exemplar is a good primary reference for what's being claimed, right?
Right. And
what I'm trying to say is, I'm just struggling with how we review for substantial evidence gradations in this particular art of the angles.
Well, I think in this case you look to the what the board and the examiner said was the overall visual appearance of the primary
right.
reference.
They have to look virtually the same.
They have to look basically the same. So the test is basically the same, and you look to the overall visual impression of it. So you look to all the different design characteristics and how they work together to create a design, create an overall effect. Here, the board and the examiner listed at least 5 or 6 different design characteristics, including the mesh design, the heavy wire rims, the semicircular openings that are handled, the heavy wire rims around those, the heavy wire rims around the bottom as well, and the fact that they're both square, have square openings at the top and are square-shaped baskets.
So let's get to the secondary references, because I mean you concede that that the primary reference wouldn't be enough for a finding of obviousness, correct?
The primary reference you need secondary references, that's
okay.
Correct.
So,
you need something with angles.
You need something with angles,
right.
That's correct.
But the problem is for me, is the discussion that both the examiner and the board had was, I mean cryptic is a nice, it's being generous. I mean, they basically said, you would have known. You would have just taken these sidewalls from these other things and put them on here. But that's not really the test. The test is there, what about the overall appearance of those other items would motivate you to combine them? And they never really did lay out the proper test, did they?
I disagree. I mean, I think that the examiner and the board took the first step of that test, which is to determine whether or not the secondary references here, the wire mesh baskets of Pope and Glassenberg, whether or not they are so related to the primary reference. And here, because they're all wire...
They just pointed to components, that they said, well, there's a component here that has angled sidewalls, so therefore, and because it's the basket, you would combine them. But that's not the right test, right?
Well, in this case, whether something is so related, and they're all wire baskets, so they are so related to each other. This court has said, I think, in the MRC Innovations case, when they were talking about the so related test, they said you look to see if something is sufficiently related or closely akin to the primary reference. And here, these are all...
What's the explanation that either the examiner or the board gave as to why they are so related?
The examiner, and they all mentioned that they were wire baskets. And so they are all the type of article that the primary reference is. And so because they are all wire baskets, they are all so related. They didn't go out and look at lampshades or something like that that would have similar designs to it. They looked within the analogous art. They looked within these wire baskets and found within that art baskets that looked like the claimed design. So that had the angled sidewall as the claimed design, and said that because they were all wire baskets, they were so related such that the ornamental design, and they were specific to say that it was the ornamental design of the side with the tapered sidewalls, would suggest that application to the primary reference here, the square basket.
So your so relatedness is that they just fall into some broad general category of being a basket, even regardless of how they appear.
I think that you also have to look at the appearance as well. I mean, I think you just can't go out and pull any wire basket. I think that here these...
In Apple, they were talking about two tablets, and they said they weren't so related.
That's
right?
Correct. So, but I think...
So that can't be enough.
But that was the first step. And then the examiner also said that the angled sidewalls look... are similar to that of the claimed design as well.
What significance do you attach to the previous ruling on the parent application?
I think that the previous case with the parent application is, although it's not precedential for this court, I think it's very persuasive. It's the same prior art. It's the claim design has actually more design characteristics in common with the primary reference in this case than in the first case, in the parent case, because in that case, the claims disclaimed the top portion of this. They disclaimed the wire rim, they disclaimed the handle, they disclaimed the heavy rim around the bottom. Here, in this case, we have a primary reference that has at least three more design characteristics that lend to the overall visual appearance to be basically the same. So if you overturn this
law that says Rule 36 doesn't decide anything, don't we?
Well, that's why I say it's not precedential. I still think that
only not precedential, it doesn't determine anything. It's not even persuasive for us. We're not allowed to consider it as having made any determination as any legal or factual issue.
Well, I think because in this case, you have exactly the same prior art, and you would end up with a paradoxical case or a situation where you have a primary reference that has less design characteristics in common with the claimed design as being non-patentable. Whereas here, you would have a primary reference with even more design characteristics in common, namely the handles, the wire rim around the top, and the wire rim around the bottom, to be non-patentable. And that's both incongruous and paradoxical with the result of the case with the parent.
But that's what can happen when decisions get Rule 36, right?
Well, I think, again, in this case, because it's not, the issues are pretty much exactly the same. They line up almost exactly the same. So I think that it still should be, again, persuasive, even though.
What's your take on the stacking issue?
The take on the stacking issue is, I think counsel for Hardy never argued that, or did not argue that the stacking rim in any way affected the overall visual appearance of the claimed, of the primary reference. So, because it doesn't affect the appearance of the primary reference, it really has no weight in the design patent context. They never made that argument during prosecution. The only difference is when they were talking about the aesthetics was that there was the tapered sidewall. And that's really what they relied on, was just the angle of the sidewall. They did not point to the stacking rim at all. The only time they pointed to the stacking rim was when they were talking about the functionality of it. And so, and the functionality of stacking is not relevant in this case. The design patent doesn't show stacked patents, and the intended use of a product is not something that should be looked at for design patent when determining the scope of a design patent. You look only to appearances, not to the uses.
Would you agree with me that in a prior case the decision, the board decision, was a lot more detailed as it relates to consideration of secondary references? It didn't simply say, okay, someone would have figured this out and put them together, which is essentially what the examiner here said.
I think there probably was a little more discussion in the prior case than in this case. But in this case...
I mean, I see essentially one conclusory statement that says it would have been obvious to design to a designer of ordinary skill in the art at the time of the invention to modify the basket so as to have sidewalls that taper inwardly, as taught by Pope or Glassenberg. That's it.
But
it would have been obvious.
Well, within the final rejection on page A78 of the record, the examiner did say, it's the examiner's decision that both Pope and Glassenberg each teach trapezoidal sidewalls and both contain a top opening having dimensions much larger than the bottom, much like the applicant's design. So the examiner did look to the overall, did look to the appearance of the baskets and did, in this case, say that did find a similarity visually.
Didn't the board adopt the examiner's analysis?
That's correct. The board did adopt the examiner's analysis.
You know, what's really been confusing about all of this is that a closer primary reference is something like where the general shape is the same, except that then when you start drawing the distinctions, the wire top, the handles, you have that diamond-shaped mesh, then you have greater distinctions. So what I've been puzzling over as I listen to all of this is you pick a primary reference, which in fact is a different shape, and then you have to combine it with other things in order to get the taper. Is it error for the board, for the examiner?
No.
To select a primary reference whose overall appearance, according to the law of design patents, is more similar than the primary reference that was selected?
No, I don't think so, because I think in this case, all of those other design characteristics that the board and the examiner identified, the type of mesh, the heavy rim, the wire mesh on the bottom, the handles...
But in isolation, until you have the tapered shape, they're not applicable.
No, I think it's still basically the same design. I think the examiner and the board both found that because all of these other design characteristics were the same, that the presence or absence of this slight tapered sidewall didn't make those two things to be visually different enough so that they wouldn't be basically the same. And this is an obvious...
to draw on the secondary references.
That's correct. This is an obviousness analysis. So there has to be some difference between the primary reference and the claim design. And here, the difference is that tapered sidewall. And the examiner went out and found baskets with the same type of taper. It's not like the examiner didn't go out and just say... find a reference that just alluded to tapered sidewalls or angled sidewalls, that a basket could have angled sidewalls, or did not find a basket where the sidewalls were angled outwardly or were concave or curved. They found a design that they said looked like the angled sidewalls of the claim design, and then applied that to the primary reference to get the combination that renders that obvious.
Isn't that what's called hindsight?
No, I don't believe so. I think in this case, because it can't be hindsight, because they did make the determination that the baskets of Pope and Glassenberg were so related to the primary reference. And so because of this relation between them, the ornamental designs in one basket would be suggested in the primary design itself. So because they made that finding, no, they did not rely on hindsight here.
When you're going about trying to ask for this overall impression, you really are supposed to look at all of the similarities or the differences together, right? If, for example, I'm sitting here and I'm looking and I say, well, is that square box a good primary reference in one of the angles? Well, if you look at the cutouts, and if you look at just the square top, that sort of says, well, they're the same. And is that your essential argument, I think, is the bits and the pieces, is that there are enough other things going on that are the same that tends to overwhelm the factor that may be different?
Not exactly.
The factor that's different is not extreme.
Not exactly, because you can't focus on the individual elements. You have to look at how all of them interplay with each other and combine to create the overall visual effect. And here, the board and the examiner found that all of those elements that they identified, they didn't look at them individually, they just identified them individually. They said they together combined to create an overall visual appearance that is basically the same as the claim design.
What I'm trying to get at is I'm just not certain how you do it. For example, if those scoops, the cutouts, mm-hmm. were say, both on the primary reference and on the applicant's design, were very severe. So it's like, you know, like two-thirds of the side of the basket was cut out. That would strike your eye really very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it would tend to overwhelm a difference of a slight angular difference in the sides, I would think.
Well, I would submit that the heavy wire designs and the both of the semicircular openings on either side of the basket with the heavy wire rims, the heavy wire rim around the bottom, the same mesh design between them and the square opening, they all combine to create the same visual impression. You may be falling into the trap of identifying a single difference and elevating that difference above the overall visual impression or appearance. And here, the board and the examiner avoided doing that and looked to the overall visual effect and found that they were basically the same and therefore properly found it as a Rosen reference.
Do you know what the exact angular difference is between the right angle on the primary reference and the patent?
I don't, and again, that is a commercial embodiment. I mean, that's not the drawing in the design patent itself. But no, I don't know what the actual angle is. But again, I think one of ordinary skill a designer of ordinary skill would be charged with the knowledge of knowing how to change, how to slightly change the angles of those walls. As this court said in In re Lam, and I think in In re Carter as well. And just one quick last point. We've spoken several times about the Apple v. Samsung case. I think in that case, there were a significant number of differences that the court identified between the primary reference and the claim design. Here, the only differences that counsel for Hardy are talking about are the angled sidewalls and its effect on the overall appearance. And so there's really only one big major difference here, it's that those sidewalls. Whereas in the Apple case, there was a much greater number.
Thank you, Mr. Rosella.
Thank you.
They did it again. It's not just the angled sidewalls. It's the absence in the claim design of a stacking rim. That is one of the major points we're trying to make. in none of the characterizations by the examiner or the board did they ever mention the stacking rim. They characterized this design as mesh, as square, with the handle, with the support rims. They never once mentioned the stacking rim. So it was that led them, you know, to conclude that they're basically the same, just as Mr. Rosilla did. Another point I'd like to make is I agree that the examiner and the board chose a poor primary reference. It is a cubicle box against an inclined sidewall basket.
Well, the assumption always is that there is some difference between the primary reference and the application, because you wouldn't have to look at secondary references.
Right, but in this case, I think it can be, surmised that they followed the formula of the first case. They applied the same art, the same logic, and the same rejection. When you look at the secondary references to Pope and Glassenberg, the examiner and the board did not consider or mention the size of those baskets, which are vastly different from these two, the aspect ratio, the length and the width of those two baskets. They didn't consider the use of the baskets. One of them was on a bicycle, and the other was three stacked in a rack. They didn't consider that the wires were vastly different in those two references.
The limitations, the size and so on, are not limitations in your claim. Is that right?
Well, the aspect ratio would be. The fact that it has a square opening at the top and a square bottom and trapezoidal sides, that is certainly a limitation. Now, this basket could be as big as this room, and if it had the same proportions, it would not matter. I agree with you. But the various ratios of length to width to height do matter and are limitations in our claim. So my point about the fact that the examiner and the board did not consider any of these characteristics of the secondary references to Pope and Glassenberg shows that they are not so related. And they don't have to be related to the claim design. The relatedness has to bear on the primary reference. So the secondary references and the primary reference have to be so related that they're combinable, and the combination has to meet the claim or at least render it obvious. So I think those are the points I wanted to make.
Okay.
If you don't have any further questions.
Well made.
Thank you very much.